welcome back to Leading Worship. I'm Nick Edgemoody here with Andy Chrisman. Andy, how you doing today?
What's up, Nick?
Doing good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes, it
well,
is.
Well, hey, we are, this podcast, Leading Worship, is about leading and equipping leaders to lead, leading people and teams, leading into the future, and leading with principles and ideas, and really just kind of talking through what we feel like may be best practices for worship. The idea is that we want your teams healthy, we want your teams holy, we want your teams thriving on a Sunday, and beyond just producing incredible worship experiences, we're passionate about the people who are helping to produce those experiences also coming out on the other side of that, feeling closer to Jesus, loving the church, loving each other better than when they started. And that's why we're doing this. So I just figured I'd kind of kick off just kind of saying that. And Andy, is there anything you wanted to add kind of to that vibe?
Yeah, so leading worship is more than just getting up and singing a song on the weekend,
right,
or singing three songs on the weekend. Leading worship is literally leading your church before the throne of God each and every week. And that is no minor task. I mean, that's biblical stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
God has opened up his throne room to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we should not have the mentality of we're asking God to come join us. If we'll sing just the right song,
right,
in just the right key with just the right emotion, God will get up off his throne and come join us in our congregation. That's not the way the Bible portrays how we approach, how we interact with God. We actually go to him because of what Jesus did on the cross. When we see him, we are changed forever.
Yeah.
And then what's our response when we stand in the presence of God in his throne room? And that's what worship is. So we want to take as many people with us as possible. So that's what leading worship, that's what this podcast is all about, is to help equip you,
yeah,
and give you some tools on your journey so that you can be a better tour guide to the throne room.
So good.
Because that's really what you're doing, right? You're a tour guide to the throne room of God, and we want to take as many people with us every weekend as possible, because when we see God, we cannot stay the same.
I love it.
We are going to change. Either we're going to reject him or we're going to change, and that's what worship is all about.
I love it. So you'll be hearing things, you may have already heard things similar to, like, what kind of lyrics are we singing this week, and what's the theology behind the lyrics, or what, you know, let's talk about creating a set list, or let's talk about healthy rhythms in life or healthy communication patterns. Today's topic we're going to cover this week is, should we stop singing songs by fill in the blank? And the idea is, you know, how do we address it when somebody in our team comes and asks that question? Hey, we need to cancel so-and-so because we're in the age of cancel culture, and a lot of things have been canceled over the last couple of years. And so I know that I've gotten that question a lot, and with multiple churches and just kind of talking and really just having these conversations. And I think it's always healthy to have the conversation. This is never just a yes or no thing. This is a complex issue, and a lot of times it does require sitting down. So I think tip number one would be, if somebody comes to you and says, we need to stop singing songs by whoever, and here's why, and kind of, it needs to be like, well, let's get coffee and talk about it. I'd love to sit and grab a bite. I want to hear exactly what you think. And then you're able to help craft a response as opposed to, nah, I don't think so. Or, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Let's always make it a conversation.
I love that. And that's something that I think that we don't do enough. You know, as an interesting parallel, I just watched a video online of Tiger Woods and John Rahm, another professional golfer. And John Rahm was showing Tiger something about his wrist angle, you know, on his shots. And Tiger was like, oh, so you, like, Tiger was engaged. Like, he wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
You're the greatest, arguably the greatest, right, golfer of all time. And a guy that's 20 years younger than him. And he's listening to his technique and what he has to say about his swing. Even a guy like Tiger still learning, you know, the nuances of golf, and he's open to hear something new. So not that you want to lay down your principles for what somebody else has to say, but the idea of having a conversation,
yeah,
I think is always valuable. And as a worship pastor for over 20 years, one of the things that I felt like I did well as a worship pastor was I kept an open door.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, you can come talk to me about anything. In fact, I would rather you talk to me about anything when it's just a seed of an idea in your head before it's a big issue. And now we have a problem that's going to take a long time to sort out, and mm-hmm. it may cost us our relationship. Yeah. I would rather start having those conversations right off the bat. If you feel anything
yep.
is wrong with what we're doing or what we're singing or whose songs we're singing, I want to have a conversation about it, because I might actually learn something from you.
Right.
I don't have it all figured out, and God can use anybody to speak to us. So I think that's such a great place to start
yeah.
in this very easy topic that you've chosen, Nick. this won't be divisive at all. You know, but I think the best thing to do as a beginning idea for something like this that can be a very hot button topic is to never be afraid of conversations. And isn't that yeah. what's wrong with our society right now?
Yeah, totally.
We quit having conversations with people we disagree with.
Right.
And I can't think of a healthier thing to do than to sit down with someone in a civil way
yeah.
with love and respect,
yep.
ready to open my ears to what you have to say. And yeah. then what's our median? What's in the middle?
Yeah.
Right there. That's never going to change. The Word of God.
Yeah.
So we revolve everything around the Word of God. And that's how we have these healthy, sometimes difficult conversations mm-hmm. is if we respect one another, give each other a place to voice what we're feeling, but then mm-hmm. make sure that everything revolves around the Word, and we go, okay, so what does the Word say about mm-hmm. this?
Yeah, that's so good.
We can move on.
Yeah, no, that's so good. We have the saying with some of our team at Yellow Box that when it comes to creativity and that we kind of have a choice between either choosing humility or eventually you choose humiliation. And oh, wow. so with these conversations that can be very complex, I think you have to put on humility first. In Colossians, it actually says something that you should be putting on is we put mm-hmm. on humility. And that means that we listen. That means that we take time to listen. Worship leaders should be the best listeners. Worship leaders should be the best receivers.
Yeah.
Because we always think about the output and what we're trying to get out. But man, we have to be open to having conversations and putting on that humility. Humility is a choice. It's an inward choice. Humiliation is something that's external that will come at you. In other words, mm-hmm. I can never stop my kids from being humiliated at school. I can't control when those moments of humiliation are going to happen, but I can help clothe them in the humility to be able to handle those moments. And so same thing when it comes to having these harder conversations, when people do come and say, hey, why are we doing this song? This song is not Bible. Or why are we doing a song by this artist? Have you heard what they said recently? Or have you heard about what's happening there? Whatever that is, you got to sit and have that conversation. And don't always assume that your opinion or where you're at is going to be where you're going to land. And so when it comes to that particular question, like, should we stop singing songs by so-and-so? And it typically comes down to an expose or hey, because they feel like they're wrong in some way or fashion. Andy, how do you typically address that? Like, what would you say to somebody who says, hey, we got to stop singing these songs?
So I want to take you back. This is going to be before your time, Nick, and maybe to a lot of people that are listening right now. Back to a time in the early to mid 1990s, I was in Christian music with a group called For Him, and there were a couple of artists who went through a divorce, who both went through mm-hmm. divorces, and immediately the radio stations stopped playing their music.
Wow!
And I have to say, at the onset, I was kind of like, okay, I get it. I mean, because the Christian radio stations are all about sanctity of marriage and who knows if there was anything else involved in any of that. And I know these two people personally, and they're very good friends of mine to this day. I love them. I love them through their, through their difficulties in those situations right. in their lives. Did it taint their music? Should their music have been pulled off Christian radio? And it was a really interesting conversation back then. And I think we're seeing some of the same conversations now with certain churches mm-hmm. and ministries that yeah. We're seeing some things maybe we don't agree with with the, what they teach, or who they're, who's speaking into their process, or the way that they live their lives. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's interesting. I think back to being a child of the 80s, the songs that are in my memory bank, you know, and when I started playing those songs for my kids when they were younger, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't, that these lyrics, or the, I don't want them to, I don't want them to start to dive into the person, right? The artist that wrote and performed the song, because their lives are really, really terrible. But you kind of get to a point to just go, but the songs are really good.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good at what they do.
But I really like the beat.
I really like the beat, and I like, and those songs are sticky, man. They stay with you. And but then you get into the church world, and you get into a situation where you have a pastor, and you have an executive team, and you have a theology for your church that says, here's what we believe, here's what we want to sing about. Right. And you and I've been in those situations where, man, there's a great song, but there's a lyric that just doesn't match our theology.
Yeah.
And we go, do we change the lyric, or we not do the song? Well, this is a little level deeper, right? Because now we're questioning the integrity and maybe even the Christian walk of the people that are supplying these songs to our churches that we're putting in front of our congregations. And so I've heard the arguments that, hey, if we're going to sing these songs, we're funding those ministries that we don't believe in, and we're vouching for the ministry that put out those songs. So in a covert way, we're endorsing those ministries and encouraging our people at our churches to go, you know, buy into what they're doing. I think that those, just personally, I think that those are on the fringes of being a little too overtly trying to control the narrative.
Yeah.
Right. And go back to those conversations. Can we, you know, I would love, I know we're not going to name names here, but I think everybody listening to this podcast knows exactly who we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion, I've been doing this long enough now, I go back to, again, to the people that went through divorces in Christian music in the mid-90s. And my thing was, but I know them. I know they're hurting. And I know God's going to see them through this, and they're going to come out on the other side, you know, with God holding them, and hopefully they don't lose their faith over this. Before I stop singing someone's song, I want to have a conversation with them. I want to get to know them. I want to know, is this really true? Is this really what's happening at your church? Is this really what's happening in your ministry? What about you? You know, are you on board with all of this? And I think then when you start to getting into the personal aspect of, we're people. We're not these robot machines that are programmed to do damage to each other. We're people who deserve to be heard. And so I kind of fall on the side of, look, if we're going to cancel songs from different ministries, I would feel better about it if I have a conversation with someone from that ministry. And then I can see it for what it is, instead of hearing the rumors or reading stuff online or stuff being blown out of proportion. And that's what a lot of this is. I know so many people at these ministries where their songs are getting canceled by churches around the world. And I'm like, but I know these people.
Right.
And they're my friends, and I would trust them with, you know, with being a brother and sister in Christ. So it's a sticky situation. I know I didn't answer any questions. I just kind of want to lay some groundwork here for what you may want to bring up next.
No, this is great. I mean, I love what you said. I mean, we're all people at the end of the day, and nobody's perfect, right? And God uses imperfect people. That's what the Bible, if you look at every single character other than Jesus, you know, he uses imperfect people along the way to help get his word out. So that is true. And also, you know, you don't really know, distance creates distortion.
That's right.
I'll say that. So if you, when you get close to the situation and you know what people are maybe walking through, I would say reserve judgment. Like, we're called to not, we're not, I'm not in the ministry of judgment. I want to take up the ministry that Jesus has given us to be as followers, which is a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to himself, and then us reconciling our differences with one another. So that's the ministry that I want to focus on, which is why cancel culture and kingdom culture they're not compatible. They're oil and water. So also, I'll just say this. I mean, a few years ago, when I first started getting into songwriting and writing for the church, I remember bringing songs to church and feeling like we're doing it, and I've kind of got one eye open and one eye closed. Like, yeah, you know, are they engaging with it? Yeah. Is it, you know, how's it going? And I felt like God spoke to me in that moment and said, at this point, it's not about who wrote the song, because the minute that you start singing the song, they start singing the song, they become the authors. They, in worship, because worship is such a vertical thing, and there's obviously things that happen corporately as well, but like, there is a vertical aspect of it. You become the author. And when I sing a song in a moment, I'm singing over my life with my tongue, over my circumstance in this moment. In other words, me singing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness," 10 years ago in 2012, knowing what I was walking through then, knowing what I was walking through in 2017, and knowing what I was walking through now in 2022, could be three completely different statements of faith based in the based on the prophetic moment that you live in. This is why worship is always prophetic to me, because it's in the now. Yeah. It's in the now. So but I become the author of that. And we get to write on our personal history, our personal journey with God, to say, man, I remember when in 2012, I transitioned from the corporate world into full-time ministry. And so what I sang, "My hope is built on nothing less," I know what I was giving up, what I was walking into. I know those lyrics meant something different to me. And I was the author of that song for that moment in my life. And so that was actually a relief to me as a songwriter. It should be a relief to us as worship leaders to know that, like, we're bringing, songs are tools. Like, music is a tool, instruments are tools, lights are tools, everything that we use on Sunday is a tool that we're helping to bring people to the presence of God, to the throne room of God, as you say, and really point their affection, their focus, their devotion all at Jesus on Sundays.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You can choose your battles, right? And if this is something you want to choose to take out of your Christian walk, go for it. But you're going to, at some point, realize that the way you've chosen has some obstacles to it as well. And the people that you follow aren't perfect either. And, you know, again, those songs become my songs. So if I sing "It Is Well With My Soul," right, that means something to me. But if I base what I sing on Spafford, who wrote the song, but then actually read how his life ended, it's not good. Spafford did not end his life well. And you can go read any, you know, there's plenty to read about him. So am I singing his story or my story? I think that's a great analogy. I'm not singing Spafford's story. I'm singing my story.
Right.
I go to Psalm, I think it's Psalm 51, where David writes his lament about Bathsheba and murdering her husband. So when I read those passages and I pray that psalm, or I write a song and sing a song based around that song, am I saying I'm a adulterer and a murderer like David? No, this is my story now. And that's what's beautiful about the words of the Bible and the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit can take something that somebody else did, plant it in our hearts, and make something new with it. So I think those that are listening can see what side we fall on this subject. I think there's always room for conversation and interpretation. Yeah. And there's always a new turn in the road. But I'm gonna tell you, Nick, what's happening, I think where this gets dangerous is we've seen this in our political climate in the United States over the last several years, is that there's a divide. People are choosing to go to extreme divides in what they believe and aren't willing to come together and discuss it. And it's starting to happen in the church now. is that there's a divide in the church with very prominent people in ministry that when you listen to them, you go, yeah, you're right. But then you listen to the other side and go, yeah, you got a point too. And again, I'll go back to my first point. Have you been to their church? Have you actually gone to their church, worshiped with their people, sat through a message, and done some sort of life with the people that go to that church and their, and whichever side you fall on? I think you owe it to yourself before you get so isolated in your beliefs of what we can and can't do. If it's, especially if it's not clearly defined in the Word of God, then you need to go experience more of who God is, because God's a much bigger God than you give him credit for.
1,000%. I served for a time in Queens, New York, at a church in Queens, and it's one of the most diverse congregations on the planet, really. I mean, you walk in and it's every nation, tribe, and tongue represented in the room. I'm like, this is church like heaven. And so it was just an incredible picture of what heaven's going to be. And to me, it's a reminder of the fact that we all can't, like, we're more united than we think. And we, when we unite around the Word of God, when we unite around Jesus, Paul says Jesus and him crucified, the people in the room, their political beliefs, the football teams that they like, the basketball teams that they like, you know, whatever it is, like the Nikes and the Adidases, whatever it is, the coffee that they like, they all might look different. But if we can unite, worship should unite us. That's part, you know, worship, we should be giving everybody in the room a song to sing, no matter your race, no matter your age, no matter your previous religious background. Worship should, there should be a unifying power and a unifying spirit with the worship that we bring week in and week out. And my challenge to people who are like, we shouldn't do this song by this artist or that artist, is mix it up. Because if it's based and rooted in the Word of God, and it's come through your personal filter of like, these are our constraints, this is, these are our principles, and this is what we're going to live on or produce, you know, worship sets by, then amen, go for it. Like, be empowered to do that. Just know this, that God does use imperfect people. And honestly, and this is true for me, like my qualification for ministry is not seminary or Bible school, because I didn't go. And it's not music school either, because I didn't go. And I learned to play by ear. So my qualification for ministry is Jesus. Jesus is our qualification. And I think that's what's true for every believer and follower of God, is we're saved by grace through faith. And we just gotta remember that and remind ourselves of that. And life is short. And I think a lot of times we spend way more time arguing and figuring out what we're gonna cancel, when we should be just thinking about what are we building? What do we need to unify around? What does kingdom look like? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to text? Who do I need to check on? I had a friend told me, if you're ever thinking about, should I text so-and-so because they're walking through something? He said, always text, always call, like, doesn't matter. Like, be that friend who does that. And you don't have to be, like, think about your circle. Andy, your circle looks different than my circle, but we all have a sphere of influence. And as leaders and as worship leaders in our body, in our churches, in our network of friends, I just want to pick up a spirit of unity. I want to pick up a spirit of building kingdom, a spirit of encouragement. And yes, there is room and there's a time for criticism. There's a time to question. And I'm all about accountability. I'm all about transparency. I'm all about honesty. I'm all about things that are in the darkness coming into the light and God doing what only he can do. But there's certain things that are God's job and not ours. And I feel like we got to focus on what he's put on. Like, we need to be obedient to what he's called us to do and what he's assigned us to.
I would say, I want to bring these things, three things up every time we do this podcast. Is number one, know the word. You got to read the word, man. If you don't know what the Bible says, then you're just shooting in the dark. And when you're shooting in the dark, you're going to hit innocent people and you're going to wound people. So know what the word says. Number two, Paul says, every man must do what's right in his own heart. So have a conviction. Have a conviction. That's not a bad thing. A conviction is a good thing. But you have to pair that with loving people more than you hate their theology, or loving people more than you despise their flaws or their slip ups, right? And that's what Jesus was great at. He loved people in the Gospels that we would look at today and just go, oh yeah, that dude's terrible. Oh yeah, there's no hope for her. Mm-hmm. Jesus went straight for them and made them part of his inner circle. So that we have to love people more than have your conviction, but love people more than your conviction. And then finally, let the Holy Spirit do his work in your life. Quit fighting against it. Spend time with the Holy Spirit every single day. Learn to close your mouth, turn the music off, and pray the simple prayer. Holy Spirit, I'm listening. Speak to me. And he will. He'll say, finally, I have so many things I want to say to you right now. And if we'll do those things, read the word, love people more than your convictions, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. As worship leaders, we'll make way better decisions. We'll know what songs to sing.
Yeah.
We'll know how to love our people better than ever before. And we won't get caught up in this divisive nature that is overtaking the United States right now and in many parts of the world. And the church has to be the antithesis to what the world is trying to do to people. We're in, not of. And so we have to be what people are craving. They're craving peace. They're craving justice. They're craving something that can center them and give them hope. And that's what we have to do. And worship leader, worship pastor, you're usually the first line of defense. You're the first person someone hears and sees when they come to your church. So get ready and get your heart ready in that way.
So good. I think that's a great note to end on. Andy, thank you for sharing that. And thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Leading Worship. We will see you next time.